What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, hump day, middle of the week, February 16th, 2011. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And starting right off the top, just looking at the corporate media, they're spending all this time about Berlusconi's trial for allegedly raping this 17-year-old underage, you know, fashion model and blah, 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 blah. And it's beginning to remind me of all the way back in 2001, during the whole spring of 2001, when the United States government was already telling other countries, we're going to be invading Afghanistan in October, and you might as well get used to it. And here in the United States of America, all we ever heard on the media was Gary Condit and Chandra Levy, little tawdry sex scandal, same thing we had to go through with the whole Whitewater scandal. The real crime, of course, was government-sanctioned drug running and all kinds of corruption. What we got on the American media was blue dress and a stain and so forth. And so I look at the saturation coverage that this story about Berlusconi is getting, and it looks to me like there's something they don't want to talk to you about, so they're going to dangle, you know, the cute little model in front of you. And I don't mean to trivialize any pain and suffering she may have gone through, but it, again, it's not something that really affects our everyday lives here in the United States of America when, you know, the big shot over in Italy is getting his comeuppance for not behaving himself. Now, earlier in the week, I speculated that the events in Egypt, which clearly caught the United States government off guard, were going to result in one of two things. Either tyrannical governments were going to back off and say, okay, we've pushed them to the edge, we got to back off or it's going to be our jobs, or they're going to go the other way and they're going to just accelerate their plans to complete their tyranny and their global government and start these wars. And sadly, I fear the second is coming to true to pass here. In the United States of America, we are seeing more and more indications of an intention to start the war with Iran to try and revive last year's failed coup. The propaganda is cranking up. What we're hearing from Israel right now is they refuse to do anything about the Palestinian issues until Iran's threat is removed. Now, there really is no threat, as we've pointed out. Iran became an Islamic state in 1979 from that date to the present. They have not invaded any other countries. It's the United States and Israel that are constantly invading Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Gaza, Afghanistan. The list is too long to memorize. So there really is no Iranian threat. It's just part of the lies that are being told to try and convince you, oh yes, we must go attack those Iranians before they don't do anything at all to us in return. And we're seeing this situation with, you know, Israel is once again out there cheerleading and rah-rahing for America to go to war against one of Israel's enemies. And we put up a couple of stories at whatreallyhappened.com. We also put them out on Twitter. It's just this incredible list of all these news stories about how Israel is saying, you got to go after Iraq. You got to go kill the Iraqis. They're a danger. They've got nukes. They've got this. They've got that. After Iraq, you've got to do Iran. It seems like all of the recent wars of the United States of America are being carried out at Israel's direction, and this again, you know, it's happening again. Avigdor Lieberman is out there again saying, oh, you have to go tromp on Iran before we even talk about the situation in Palestine. And, of course, the situation in Palestine is really at the heart of the whole Mideast upset, because Israel will not allow to the Palestinians that which Israel wants for itself, a recognition of a state and a right to exist. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back after these commercials continuing on this thing, Iran versus Israel, and what the media doesn't want you to remember about the so-called Iranian threat. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what?
Hello, America. Welcome back to our show here. And before we get more into the depths of the current Iran-Israel situation, I kind of want to take a step back here and underscore for all of you listeners this incredible hypocrisy that we are seeing from the United States government, where Hillary Clinton is out there. As you know, they're trying to restart last year's failed coup d'etat in Iran. And Hillary's out there saying, well, we support the right of the Iranian protesters to be heard and be in the streets and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, it's completely hypocritical, because here in the United States of America, this is now the land of the free speech zones, you know, little First Amendment areas set aside way up on the hiking trails in the Appalachians. Remember back during the Republican convention in 2004, they threw all the protesters in these chain links dog kennel cages down at the docks. 2008 Democratic convention, the protesters were kept away, out of sight of the media in the convention. So, you know, Madam Secretary of State, please do not try and BS the world about how the U.S. supports the rights of protesters, because they don't do it here in this own country. They do not do it in the United States of America. They did not support the Egyptians until it became obvious that Mubarak was going to lose. And we've got Obama's over there in Jordan reassuring them, oh yeah, we'll back you up against that revolutionary movement. And so the hypocrisy is really very, very simple. The United States government supports the rights of protesters in those countries the United States seeks to overthrow. But in all those countries who are willing lackeys of the United States or Israel, the United States is going to come in and say, oh, well, we have those protesters. We got to deal with them. We've got to support the ruling junta against those pesky protesters who don't want to have their lives impoverished for the benefit of American corporations. So that hypocrisy really underlies everything that we're seeing going out there. And if you watch the news and you watch all the speechification between Obama and Clinton and the rest of it, you will come to understand that this really very much is true. So before we go to this caller we've got waiting, I basically want to go down the list. Israel and the United States government are trying to convince you that Iran is some kind of a threat to the world. And as I've pointed out already, since 1979, when Iran became an Islamic Republic, they haven't invaded anybody, not once. Zero, zip, nada, has not happened. Israel has attacked Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, over and over and over again. The flotilla, the assassination in Dubai, it goes on and on and on. Same thing with the United States. Libya, Panama, Grenada, I can't even remember the list. Cannot even remember the list. So, here's what the media wants you to forget when they talk about the Iran nuclear threat. Okay, almost a year ago, Rose Gottermuller, the Assistant Secretary of State and Washington's chief nuclear arms negotiator, asked Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel refused. The United Nations passed a resolution calling on Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and submit to IAEA inspections. Israel refused. The IAEA asked Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and to submit to inspections. Israel refused. Iran's formal notification to the IAEA of the planned construction of the backup fuel rod facility underscores the fact that Iran is playing by the rules of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which Iran has signed, along with the United States of America. I'll come back to that in a minute. Now, Iran allows International Atomic Energy Agency inspections of all of its facilities. It's not hiding anything. Okay? Now, the IAEA and all 16 United States intelligence agencies are unanimous in agreement. Iran is not building and does not possess nuclear weapons. Now, in 1986, Mordecai Vanunu blew the whistle and provided photographic proof that Israel is manufacturing nuclear weapons in a clandestine factory underneath the so-called research reactor at Dimona. Now, Israel has made the same accusations against Iraq that it is now making against Iran. Oh, they're building nuclear weapons. They're a danger. They're a threat, which led up to Israel's bombing of Iraq's power station at Osirik. Now, following the invasion of 2003, international experts, including the IAEA, examined the ruins of the power station at Osirik and found no evidence of any clandestine weapons laboratory anywhere. So what's going on here is really very simple. The United States and Iran have signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty allows for the peaceful use of atomic energy. Power stations, medical isotopes, industrial processes, static removal, that all of these peaceful things you can do with nuclear power. And requires, in exchange, full inspection of all facilities by the IAEA. Iran has signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The United States has signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Israel has not. Now, recently revealed documents have confirmed that not only does Israel have nuclear weapons, they have been trying to sell them around the world. The British press blew the whistle that Israel tried to sell nuclear weapons to apartheid South Africa. That's the very activity the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is designed to prevent. Now, it's been documented in 1965, Israel stole over 200, as much as 600 pounds of weapons-grade uranium from the United States. So, who's the danger? Who's the nuclear threat? It's not Iran. Iran's trying to build a power station, which they have the legal right to do. But Israel is enjoying a nuclear monopoly. They're the only nuclear-armed country not constrained by the Non-Proliferation Treaty in terms of what they can do with their nuclear power. They have a monopoly on covert clandestine nuclear weapons around the world. It's like a larger version of the diamond merchant industry, where Israel has a monopoly on that through De Beers. And Israel does not like competition. They don't like fair prices. They don't like, you know, the ability for customers to choose. Right now, Israel is the only place countries can go to buy clandestine nuclear weapons, and Israel doesn't want to lose that monopoly because it's a lot of money coming in. We know Israel has been selling nuclear weapons. We know that's what the NPT is supposed to stop. And one more point I want to make before we go to this caller who's been patiently waiting. U.S. law makes it a crime for the U.S. government to give any financial aid to any country in possession of nuclear weapons technology that has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty or submits to IAEA inspections. That basically means that all of the money, every single penny that the U.S. government has taken from your pocket and sent to Israel over the last few decades was theft under color of law, was stolen from you to give to Israel, even though it is illegal to do so under U.S. law. That's why the U.S. government keeps asking Israel to sign the NPT and to submit to inspections so that they're not committing a crime against the people of the United States every time they sign another one of those checks. Israel keeps refusing. Israel's attitude is, it's your problem to keep the slaves in their pens. Just send us the money or else. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Nick in Arizona, aloha. Nick, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Thank you very much for taking my call. Just wanted to give you an update. I follow your show regularly, a regular listener, and when the protests were going on, you were commenting on the fact that, you know, they're not wasting any time in bringing up, oh, yeah, Iran, oh, Iran's got to go. Oh, we need to use this momentum, oh, yeah, against Iran. And I was flipping through the corporate media channels. I call it monitoring the enemy transmissions, and I landed on...
Yeah, my wife says the same thing.
I landed on Sean Insanity, a.k.a. Sean Hannity, Mr. I always have to have a pen in my hand, even though I'm not writing anything while I'm talking. And, you know, they're giving all this fluff about the economy, and then they cut to this segment. Oh, he's got a new special coming out on Friday called Uranium. It's the film that Iran doesn't want you to see, and oh, it's all the booga booga. They've got the bomb. We need to overthrow them. They need to have a change over there. And just, I mean, you said everything brilliantly and to the T exactly of why that's the biggest crock. But here's the one thing that concerns me. We know how Israel likes to play with the false flags attacks, and we know that they have plutonium that they stole from the U.S. and built a bomb that they very well could just use it on Iran. Oh, looks like the U.S. nuked you. We got your signature isotopes. It's just really, really worrying how they're playing this game and how they're setting it up, and they just—it just shows you that they never, ever, ever let go of wanting to get in and monkey around with Iran. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you that yeah, you hit it right on the head.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's not, you know, after Iraq it's Iran, after Iran it'll be Saudi Arabia, after Saudi Arabia, you know, it'll be one by one until Israel gets the entire Middle East, Eretz Israel, that they think they're supposed to own because the invisible man who lives in the sky that nobody else can see or hear keeps telling them, you're supposed to have this chunk of land, and anybody on there, you have the right to kill to get them off there. And it's a lot of nonsense. Now, the real threat of a false flag is not Israel nuking Iran. That'd be a little obvious and heavy-handed. That doesn't really help Israel get the U.S. into the battle. So we had yesterday, we had that guy over at the FBI saying it's a 100% certainty there'll be a nuclear bomb inside the United States of America. And the most likely way that will come about, it's either going to be that unaccounted for nuclear weapon out of that whole kerfuffle at Minot Air Base a while back. Or, remember, Israel got the uranium, the weapons-grade uranium for their first generation of bombs from here in the United States of America, from a reprocessing factory up in New York, and from the Savannah River plant that had a huge material unaccounted for problem, and which they then said, oh, it's just lost in the piping. We don't need to worry about it. Trust us. It's not a problem. And, you know, once you've got the uranium, building a bomb is easy. And Israel wouldn't need to take the uranium out of the United States. They just park it here, build a bomb around it, and now they can set off a bomb. And we do know that there is a strange, unaccounted for radiation source somewhere in Israel's New York consulate. And of course, Israel will not allow inspections, but radiation meters outside show there's something in there that's hot. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Credit cards, some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Before we get back to the phones here, I kind of want to elaborate on what I said before because I'm getting some email about this. There are two basic types of nuclear weapons on which all the other types are built. One is the uranium bomb, which is the easiest one to build, and the other is the plutonium bomb, which is the one that involves the big complex implosion chamber and all those various other niceties. The uranium bomb is really very simple, and the secret is you get two chunks of weapons-grade uranium, you slap them together, they go bang. That's it. You all know how to build an atomic bomb. Of course, the hard part is getting the uranium. But as I was saying before, Israel is now known, has been known going back to the Nixon administration, to have stolen, with U.S. government complicity, weapons-grade uranium from the United States, from processing plants Savannah River, for their first generation of nuclear weapons. And it would have been very trivial for them to leave enough material inside the United States stored somewhere to build a weapon or two. Then they wouldn't have to worry about building an atomic bomb and smuggling it back into the United States to stage a phony terror attack. Not that anybody's watching our southern border anyway. Because once you've got the uranium, building an actual bomb is really very easy. Especially if you're not worried about efficiency or how clean it is in the aftermath. So we're going to go to the phones here. Steve in Ontario. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask you, have you seen Mel Gibson's latest film, Edge of Darkness?
No, I haven't.
It is amazing, and it's exactly what we're talking about right now. He's a cop, and his daughter gets killed, and he stumbles across the plot that his daughter worked at a subcontractor in the New Jersey area, I believe it was, that was actually manufacturing weapons for the U.S. government, but they were importing the parts from Iran. And it was unbelievable. And you wonder why Mel Gibson got slammed and smeared by the media and everything else, beyond his making of Passion of the Christ. This one here blows things. It is amazing. You will really enjoy it. It's not only it's interesting, but it's a really revealing and well acted as well. So I would suggest that to anybody.
Well, is it in the theater right now?
No, it was released in 2010.
I must have missed that one. I'll have to go back and take a look at it at Netflix or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last movie that I watched of Mel Gibson's was the one about the Amazonian natives, and I liked it, Apocalypto.
Right.
And I liked it, but I kind of felt he was listening to more of his artistic demons. But I'll definitely take a look at that. I mean, I've liked Mel Gibson's work all along.
I mean, he's really trying to tell the truth in this movie, and it was actually it was kind of a weird mix of people that funded this. It wasn't your usual players that were behind this. What's the billionaire guy that owns the one basket, Dallas Mavericks? He has his own movie production company. Well-known name, I can't.
Doesn't ring a bell, and it probably ought to, but I haven't been paying attention there. I'm glad he's getting the money to do these movies, because he has brought out some things that need to be looked at. On the other hand, I think his attitude, his religious fanaticism that he inherited from his father, I think is his own worst enemy.
Yeah, and he drinks a bit too much, but he's definitely...
In this day and age, who can look at what the government's doing to the country and stay sober?
I'm having a hard time.
I'm getting more and more into the single malts myself in the late evenings.
Yep, I know what you mean, man. Anyway, just thought I brought that up. It's a cool topic, so...
what's the name of that film again?
What's that?
What is the name of the film again?
Edge of Darkness.
Edge of Dark. Okay, I'm going to look at that. All right, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. So anyway, we're seeing the propaganda campaign. And you know something? It's so obvious and heavy-handed, I think most people are picking up on it. I have been running around the Internet to all the various newspapers that are running these articles. Most of them are not allowing comments. Comments are turned off. Comments are blocked. Something prevents you from posting. But on all of the media websites that are allowing comments, basically the reaction from the public is overwhelmingly, come on, you already tried this, you know, fool me once, and basically nobody's buying this stuff. So anyway, Peter King is out there screaming that Al-Qaeda is already here in the United States of America, and it's training children to murder their parents in their bedrooms, and they're hiding in your bedroom closet and under your bed, and they're tearing tags off your seat cushions and stealing underwear from your bureau, and all the rest of the stuff. And it's just more of that constant fear-mongering that they're trying to find some way to basically reignite fear against the bad people, the way that Hitler did against the Polish to start World War II. And they're not really getting a lot of traction. And so, as our earlier caller mentioned, there is the possibility that they may resort to a new 9/11, a new false flag attack, this time involving a nuclear weapon, against some iconic object of the United States of America, which probably would be on the West Coast this time, because New York already had theirs. And I know that the Golden Gate Bridge is just about due for replacement anyway from age, so that makes a really, really tempting target here. But the big news right now, of course, is that Israel is just having a total panic attack over the fact that two Iranian warships are transiting the Suez Canal heading into the Mediterranean to call on Syria. And Israel is saying they may be forced to respond. When we come back, we'll talk about what that really means and why Israel is being their normal jerk self again. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So we're talking about this story where Iran has sent a couple of warships through the Suez Canal heading for Syria. Now, this is not a unique occurrence. Warships go through the Suez Canal all the time, including those of Israel. Certainly those of the United States of America. The Suez Canal, like the Panama Canal, is considered an international waterway. Nobody has a right to say, yes, you may go, no, you may not go. It's technically considered international waters. So far, so good. Nobody screams about needing to respond when Israel sends warships through there. But all of a sudden, Israel's making a big deal about Iran's warships being in the Suez Canal. Now, under international law, Iran can send their ships anywhere they want in international waters. It is not an issue. Until Iran sails into somebody's territorial waters, then everybody starts getting really, really nervous. So Israel has no more right to respond to the Iranian warships cruising past in the distance than they had to attack the international aid flotilla in international waters. It's just another way to try and trigger a war that ultimately Americans will pay for and Americans will die for. That's Israel's aim. Get the U.S. into a war with their enemies. They did it in Iraq. They did it in Afghanistan. Now they're trying to do it with Iran. And because of what happened in Egypt, everybody's in a hot panic to put pedal to the metal and get this thing rocking and rolling. A major war right now is seen by the U.S. and Israeli governments as the only way to stop this global revolution dead in its tracks, emphasis on the word dead. Meanwhile, up at the Lebanese border, Israel is once again violating their airspace and sending their troops along the border, and they're playing their same old game of saying, well, it doesn't matter where the fence is. We know the real border is a mile into the other side there, and they're sending their... They're basically, it's a provocation. They're trying to get Lebanon to do something that Israel can say, oh, they attacked us first. Lebanon so far is holding back and not falling for the bait here. Meanwhile, of course, the United States is continuing to make a huge, huge diplomatic kerfuffle over this Blackwater employee who was assigned to the U.S. Embassy there. He shot and killed a couple of Pakistanis. He's claiming they were ISI agents attempting to arrest him, and that gave him a right to shoot them. The U.S. attitude right now is he's got diplomatic immunity. Our diplomats can go into a foreign country and kill anybody they want. They have a license to kill. Please give our guy back. The Pakistan government is saying, no, I don't think we're going to do that. And so the United States may say, well, we have to go to war to preserve our right to murder people in other countries. Now, over at whatreallyhappened.com, I put up a video that you really need to look at and share with all your friends. In fact, there's two of them today that really you need to look at and mail around to everybody you know. And the one I'm talking about right now is titled, Who Were the First Terrorists in the Middle East? Because we all have grown up with this image of Middle East means terrorism. Ooh, gosh darn those terrorists. But who started the process of escalating incidents of terror to get their political way? It wasn't the Arab Muslims, it was Israel. The Stern Gang, Irgun, the bombing of the King David Hotel, the Lavon Affair. Israel's birth is just bathed in blood of innocent victims of terrorism by the founders of Israel. And we need to remember that in the context of deciding now who is the threat to peace in the Middle East region, who is the threat to global peace. And again, it goes back to that whole issue. Iran became an Islamic Republic in 1979, and since then, they have not invaded another country. Israel has attacked Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Gaza, Palestine, over and over and over again. The United States has invaded more countries than I can remember. So who is the threat to world peace? And you need to keep that idea in your mind, and you need to be willing to go out and post it anywhere that you see this propaganda. And it's all, they're trying to put it all over the place. You know, oh, Iran's the threat, Iran's the danger, Iran's this. And everywhere that you see that, please take a minute, register at that website, or sign in if you're already a member, and just say, look, Iran became an Islamic Republic in 1979. Since then, they haven't invaded anybody. You can't say that about Israel, and you can't say that about the United States. It's true only for Iran. Who is the danger to world peace? And you'll get all this flack back from the megaphonies about, well, Iran is funding terror, and Iran's doing this, and Iran's doing that, and they smell bad, and they dress funny, and they file their teeth for fun, and, you know, all the other propaganda that we get. But the history on the ground is there. When the bombs are falling and the bullets are flying, it's not coming from Iran. It's coming from Israel in the United States of America. Now, an interesting story surfaced because, you know, we have these false flag attacks by Israel, including the bombing of the King David Hotel and the Lavon Affair and the attack on the USS Liberty. And I have held for many, many years that the attack on the USS Cole appears to have been a replay of the attack on the USS Liberty done by Israel to blame Yemen in this case. The attack on Liberty was blamed on Egypt until it was found out who was really doing it, and the USS Cole attack was blamed on Yemen. Now we're finding out, by virtue of a videotape admission by herself, the former U.S. ambassador to Yemen, Barbara Bodine, prevented John O'Neill's investigation of the bombing of the USS Cole. In other words, a U.S. official went into the U.S. investigation and said, don't look too close. Don't look at that. Don't look, you don't need to look at that. We'll just take our word for what happened and go away. So again, that right there is prima facie evidence of a cover-up and concealment. Something about the USS Cole is being hidden from you. You get three guesses. The first two do not count. So now we're starting to see this campaign, because the revolution in Egypt really was a popular uprising against a tyrannical government. There are efforts to try and sort of link that to the attempt to restart the coup over in Iran. That's not going too well. They're not getting huge crowds to show up in front of the cameras, mostly because the Iranians remember last year during the failed attempted a coup there. The flag they were handing out for free from the back of all those vans was the flag of the Shah. And once they saw that, they said, okay, this is 1953 all over again. So now basically we're seeing this ongoing campaign to try and demonize the revolution in Egypt, to portray the revolutionaries in a bad light, to basically hijack the revolution by saying, well, they really don't know what they want, so we have the right to go in and say, you know, this is what you should do. We have a right to go back in and reassert our privilege that we had before. And again, I'm not surprised. These kind of things do happen. When we talk about a revolution, very rarely are we talking about just one. When we talk about the French Revolution, we're actually talking about several that happened in rapid succession from 1793 to 1808. I suspect the same thing's going to happen in Egypt, because the people who are still in government, who were there for Mubarak and who want to preserve their wealth and privilege, they're going to keep on trying to keep things the way they were. The people of Egypt are going to have to stand up and knock them down as well. They may go through four or five governments before they finally get a government that understands the will of the people is the law of the land. So this gets us to this story that's being waved all over the place about how supposedly CBS News reporter, Lara Logan, was sexually assaulted by the democracy protesters in Cairo. And frankly, I'm doubtful. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel genuine. It doesn't feel, you know, if she'd said she was attacked by Mubarak's thugs, I'd be inclined to accept it at face value, because Mubarak's thugs were out there trying to cause trouble. They let people out of the prisons to go out and cause trouble for the democracy movement. But after Mubarak steps down and everybody's in a party mood, knowing how important global media support was, you're not going to go out and attack a CBS News reporter, unless it's a put-up job, and maybe it was. Or maybe it's an outright hoax. And I don't mean to impugn Lara Logan, except that during times like this, reporters will very often go along with an agenda because they realize it's an opportunity for major promotion. I'll give you a classic example out of history. When John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, November 22nd, 1963, Dan Rather was the newscaster at a small market Texas news station. Nobody ever heard of him. But he was shown the Zapruder film. Nobody else was allowed to see it. And then Dan Rather goes on the air and says, oh, yes, that headshot just rockets Kennedy's head forward, thereby ending reports and speculation that there had been a shooter in front of the car to the right up on the grassy knoll. And at that point, Dan Rather's career took off, and he went right to network, where he stayed until his retirement. Years later, Jim Garrison's case against Clay Shaw, who was later revealed to have been a CIA operative at the time, made the Zapruder film public, and everybody finally got to see that Dan Rather lied. He just lied through his teeth to the American people to support the agenda, to protect the plotters in the assassination of the president, and he was rewarded with a leap up to media stardom. So, we know that reporters, prostitutes we call them, are subject to altering their news because of promises of advancement or money or so forth and so on. The other reason I doubt this story is because it feels an awful lot like the Jessica Lynch story. Remember when the United States invaded Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction story was already beginning to crumble and fall apart? The Yellow Cake story was coming apart. The whole Valerie Plame thing was starting to surface about how the White House was literally attacking anybody who was questioning the validity of these claims of weapons of mass destruction and gas bombs and germs and all the rest of it. And so in order to distract the people away from those growing questions, the growing doubt about the legitimacy of the war, we had the story of Jessica Lynch, cute little blonde soldier, just beaming face, just an absolute baby doll. And, she was brought back from the front severely injured. And the story was she had been beaten, brutally beaten, and raped by those gosh darn Iraqi soldiers. And even though Jessica herself said, no, that's not what happened, and the Iraqi doctors who treated her said, no, actually, she was in an accident. The vehicle that she was in rolled over. The driver just screwed up. It was an accident. But, oh, no, we need a victim, and we need to demonize the Iraqis. And Jessica Lynch eventually basically said, I don't remember what happened, so leave me alone. But it turned out to be, another piece of pro-war propaganda. Apparently, when there's a war on, everybody sees it as a license to lie. Later on, it came out that Jessica Lynch wasn't quite the sweet, innocent, young, virtuous, female that she'd been portrayed in the media. She was kind of a wild child. And that's certainly the rumor that we get about Laura Logan, that she, too, is, she's a lot of fun to have at a party. Let's just put it there and leave it that way. All righty, we're going to go to the phone. Steve in Ontario. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Hey, you brought up about John O'Neill and his investigation of the USS Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it ironic that he was relieved of his position at that time and that his very next job was as in charge of security at the World Trade Center, and his very first day was 9/11, 2001, and he died.
Yeah,
that
isn't
day.
That amazing how that works out?
Isn't that unbelievable? I wasn't sure if people actually knew that history of him, so I thought I'd bring it up.
Oh yeah, we knew that, and all the top CEOs of all the businesses at the World Trade Center were away at this invitation only breakfast over in New Jersey that was organized by the Port Authority or something. So all those top CEOs were just fortuitously out of the building. Zim Shipping, the Israeli shipping line, had broken their lease to move out of the building the month before. And, all of these things basically piling up to show that, yeah, they knew what was going to happen here.
Have you heard of Susan Lindauer, heard her story? She was the Iraqi contact at the U.S. Embassy and had a CIA handler.
I'm not familiar with it. I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't recall the details. I mean, everybody's got a CIA handler.
Yeah, but she was the second American to be arrested and held long-term under the Patriot Act, and it was because she had information that indicated that there was foreknowledge to 9/11 happening. She just come out with a brand-new book. So if you want to search Susan Lindauer, I'm sure she'd love to come on your show.
Oh, I'd love to have her. We need to get more guests on the show. We lost our show booker, and now that we're starting to finally kind of get more of an audience and everything, we need to get a show booker back on here and start really having some more guests. But if you would email me her information, I will try and hunt her down and get her on the show. At this stage, this many years after the fact, that the government knew ahead of time about 9/11, we're seeing more and more of these stories come out about how various agents were trying to warn them. The rumors were flying that this was going to happen. And the U.S. government said, oh, no, everything's going to be just fine. And the media kept saying, oh, look over there. And we kind of got that.
Well,
all right.
Yeah, but I'll email you that. And her story is definitely very fascinating because her CIA boss actually said that day, this is Mossad.
Okay. So, yeah, well, we knew that too. All right, thanks an awful lot. And I'll look at that information. All right, we're almost at the end of the segment. I got time enough for one more story here. As you know, yesterday I was talking about this sudden protest that has arisen around Dr. Zahi Hawass, who in the final week of Mubarak's reign was elevated to a cabinet position as head of Egypt's Antiquities. And regardless of how you feel about Dr. Hawass, there's no question his visibility around the world has brought a great deal of added attention to Egypt and its rich cultural history, and that just the sheer volume and wealth of the archaeological artifacts to be found in Egypt. And this huge protest had erupted around him, and I said, it might just be petty jealousy, and it might just be the revolutionaries thinking anybody that was assigned or aligned with Mubarak has to go. Somebody wrote in and pointed something out that I should have thought of yesterday. Zahi Hawass is hated by Israel with an almost venomous anger, because it was Zahi Hawass who pointed out that the actual archaeological evidence of the Exodus shows that it happened to the Hyksos people, not the Hebrews. The Hebrews sort of borrowed the story, which back in that time in history was sort of considered acceptable behavior. It wouldn't be acceptable now, of course. You'd have all kinds of lawyers down on your head about it. But back then, when you were writing holy documents, you borrow your stories from everybody. And we know that the Old Testament borrowed the Noah's flood from the Epic of Gilgamesh. So borrowing the Exodus from the tales of the Hyksos would have been no big deal. But of course, since Israel justifies itself politically on the story of the Exodus, its claim on the antiquity lands of Israel on that story, Zahi Hawass pointing out, hey, it didn't happen to you, it happened to these other people, was considered literally an attack on the state. So they may be having a hand in trying to bring him down. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones. David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I got a thing about Ron Paul. I was wondering if you heard about it. Apparently, Robert Murdoch's propaganda machine, otherwise known as Fox News, did a little hit piece on Ron Paul where they interviewed him after he won the CPAC poll. And then when they're setting the interview up to make Ron Paul look bad, they played the 2010 CPAC poll, which Ron Paul also won, but there was a bunch of booing in that video clip, and it made it look like that was the announcement of Ron Paul's win, where in actuality, the real announcement was like, you know, thunderous applause around the house, like, you know, and they set Ron Paul up like they're trying to make it look like he's an extremist or something, you know?
Well, what do you expect from Fox News? You know, what do you expect from a pig but a grunt? And, you know, Fox News has not really, you know, established any standards for honesty and journalistic integrity. They're a propaganda operation. They always have been. And they're not even shy about it. Remember the bovine growth hormone lawsuit where Fox News told these reporters to lie about the story and conceal the fact that this synthetic bovine growth hormone was causing cancer. And when the reporters refused to take that out, Fox News fired them and ultimately won the resulting lawsuit when the court said, you know, there is no law that says the news has to tell the truth. So news organizations do have a right to order their reporters to lie to the people and to fire them when they refuse. And so, you know, Fox News was the organization that fought that legal principle through the court system.
Well, it's sad to see that they're attacking Ron Paul when he's actually one of the few Republican, you know, leaders that you can actually respect in this city.
I disagree here because I think the fact that we all know that's what they're doing is actually going to help Ron Paul, because there is so much anger in this country right now. And a lot of that anger is directed against not only the government, but the corporate media, to the prostitutes that for a piddling little paycheck are perfectly willing to sell out this country to vested political interests, even to Israel. I mean, we had that video from Russia today that was documenting how Israel will come in and literally bribe American prostitutes with millions of dollars to report the news in a way to favor Israel. And now that the public knows that's what's going on, I think any time the media gets caught playing these tricks on Ron Paul, it's only going to build his grassroots support, because Americans have an instinctive attachment to the underdog. And Ron Paul is the underdog. And, you know, going into 2012, he's facing an uphill battle. In an honest election, he would win, hands down. If we'd had honest elections in 2008, he'd be the president. So we're going to have to fight the entire corrupt system to get him into office and hope that he's going to have his Kevlar undies on, because, you know, they won't hesitate to waste him. They really won't. He's that much of a danger to the status quo.
Well, I'm a registered Democrat, and I'll tell you what, if Ron Paul goes up for president, he's got my vote.
He's got my support, too. I'm going to support him on this election. You know, I'm not optimistic about his chances, because he's fighting the entire American political system, the Federal Reserve, and Israel, and that is a tremendous amount of power. And but I am going to support him, because there is nobody else out there on the political horizon that I want to have anywhere near the reins of power in this country.
Awesome. Well, have a nice day.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. All right, we're coming up to the top of hour number one, and again, a reminder to our WWCR listeners, you can catch the second hour of our show by going to republicbroadcasting.org, and we'll be back after station identification.